got another lefty joining us now. Four-time World Series champ, former Giant, Javi Lopez with us. Javi, happy opening day. Doesn't quite seem like opening day, but it is, right?
It's opening day, and Whitey, what a nugget to drop to kick this one off. I mean, that was... I learned something today. I'm really impressed. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah,
and
I just hope I have
will
that
you forget
right.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not good with my colors to begin with. All right, I'm going to forget pretty quickly.
Javi, this is obviously the strangest baseball year ever. We hardly know up from down. That said, how did the Giants look so bad in the first two games in L.A. and then look so much better in the last two games in L.A.?
Well, I mean, I guess I'd pose the question right back is, what were you expecting going into the season? I think when you look at this team, they got a lot of things that they need to work on. And I think the first thing that jumped off the page of games one and two was how bad they were defensively. They just weren't very athletic. It was almost a little bit robotic. They're kind of checking out the cards, figuring out where they needed to line up rather than just kind of playing the game and getting into a rhythm and into a flow. And yeah, it's going to happen a lot during these 60 games. But I think when you look at the team, what happened in games three and four is that they pitched better. And no matter what you say about the offense, the Dodgers they're explosive all the way up and down that lineup. Their pitching staff's tremendous. But everything's won and lost on the pitching mound, and that's why the Giants played well. Kapler did a nice job mixing and matching the pitching the best he could and trying to play those matchups, and it worked out well in games three and four. The defense got a little bit better. Dodgers ran into a couple extra outs. And the Giants took advantage. But I do think you're going to have some sloppy play and some really good play for the rest of this time, not only with the Giants, but a lot across the league. I think these teams are still trying to figure out what they're doing.
Does the foreign nature of the game, and by foreign I mean no fans, more masks, I mean just different rules, that's what I mean. How much harder does it make the player's job to figure out what this manager wants? Because it's clearly a dramatically different philosophy than the one they've all been used to in this town for a long time. And when the game is not able to be played sort of with a natural rhythm, how much harder is it to figure out and get accustomed to a dramatically different manager?
Well, I do think that is the paradigm shift that's kind of happening in San Francisco. When you look at the stability of a Bruce Bochy and really all the managers before Bruce, but you had guys that were having pretty long runs in San Francisco. And now you bring in Gabe Kapler, very analytically driven, and Farhan Zaidi and the way he wants to run a organization. There's going to be lots of give and take. And I think an older player, a veteran player is going to just kind of check their ego. They're going to have to check their ego because the way Kapler goes about his business, everything's informed. He's got an answer that's been very well thought out and very well researched. And I think that you've noticed that with every time he's behind a microphone, he's got reasons as to why he's doing things, whether you agree with it or not. And I think as a veteran player going into that situation, you got to understand that he's going to want to manage a certain way, and you got to get on board with that. As a younger guy, I think you just kind of don't really care as long as you get to put a uniform on and play. And then you always want to make good first impressions, and I think that's what you're going to see. A lot of younger guys get an opportunity to perform, and I think when those are the two levels that are going to be a little interesting. You're missing out on Posey. You're missing out on Longoria. You know, Samardzija is just now going to take the mound tonight. The veteran guys, like another one with Belt, the way they mesh with Gabe Kapler is going to be the interesting thing for me. I'd like to see how that plays out, but I do think you need to have buy-in, and you kind of see it kind of coming along here in games three and four, the split against the Dodgers is a win. As far as I'm concerned, I know it's 2-2, but it's a win when you're playing a team of that level of that caliber. And you come back with two wins. It's pretty good.
Continuing along the lines of the oddities of this season, if you're talking to Giants fans, given that, you know, the one loss record is probably not going to be that exciting for them, given the sort of influx state of this team, what would you tell them is the right way to judge the squad, and a guy like Kapler? Like, how do you tell if he's doing a good job?
That's a great question, because I think when you look at it through the long lens, you look at a team and you have to ask yourself, what exactly were you expecting going into this season? Now, when you look at the Giants, they had the best record last year through a 60-game stretch of the season last year, that July run that they had going. But, you know, you've lost those key pieces from that run. Can anybody win in this sprint? Sure. You look at the playoff odds, I think going 2-2, they jumped to 16% chance of making the playoffs. Now, that, again, that's still an awful lot against you going into the playoffs. But I think you got to look at these players as, you know, look at a Dubon and watch him develop. I'm not saying he's going to turn into Mookie Betts, but Mookie Betts was an infielder before he became a tremendous right fielder. And you want to see if he can make that kind of transition. I think he's a little more athletic than Chris Taylor, but you like the way Chris Taylor plays with the Dodgers because he can play the infield, he can play the outfield. I think Dubon has a higher ceiling. And I think when you look at this team, you kind of have to dissect it with what you feel is the most interesting pieces. And I think some of those interesting pieces are still in that player pool. You know, you got to think Joey Bart's going to be coming up at some point. Ramos will be up. Hunter Bishop will be up. You got some big-name guys. Luciano's will be another guy that they're going to want to take a look at. And I think, you know, if you look at it long lens, you realize that it's, if they win, great. If they don't, that's fine as well. But you want to see these young guys get up here sooner than later. And I think they already went ahead and brought up Chadwick Trump, who's a 25-year-old guy. He's a catcher. He's probably going to be more of a backup guy. But, you know, you're going to start seeing an influx of younger talent. And I think that's what you got to try to get excited about. You got to see, for Kapler, it's tough to question the X's and O's in 60 games for me, watching him. To do the best he can, he's going to do. He's going to play platoon advantages. He's going to try to win at the margin, and he's going to try to work with the 27 outs you have in a baseball game to do those things. But again, it's ultimately going to be won and lost on the mound. And yeah, I wouldn't weigh too much on the way Kapler does it, other than how he engages his veteran players and how he engages the media.
Former Giant Javi Lopez with us. If you listen closely, you can hear his four World Series rings clinking together as he talks to us there. Javi, a lot of us are reminded of you when we see Tyler Rogers. Of course, he throws from the other side. But when you made that adjustment to throwing from down under, how difficult was that for you physically to start throwing that way and keep throwing that way?
It did take a little while. I didn't switch till you know, a few years into my minor league career. That's when I decided to drop down because I was so terrible over the top that it took a while. And I think what it's not so much physical. It's learning how to pitch. It's learning to change your sight lines. Like, all of a sudden now you're dipping your head more differently from the traditional style that you teach your kids how to throw. And you got to change your sight lines and learn new grips. And I think that's the hardest thing about it, is that there's no pitching coach really that can help Tyler Rogers. In the world of analytics, in the world of Rapsodo and Pitch FX and all the data that you can get from your pitches, nobody's going to tell you how to change it. They can give you advice from what they think they see, but there's not many pitching coaches that are going to be able to know exactly, unless you get a Dan Quisenberry kind of guy, a Kent Colby, a right-hander that knows what he's talking about. It's going to be hard to have those kind of bodies and those eyeballs on this thing. So Tyler, his story for me is pretty amazing, because he's just, not only has he had to battle and prove people wrong constantly, but then he's going to have to also be his best pitching coach and his own advocate. And that's hard to do when you're trying to establish yourself in the big league. So it's really an impressive thing to watch.
When you say the words, Gabe Kapler, how much in your mind of that sort of hole is actually you saying Farhan Zaidi?
Well, for me, I played with Kapler two times in my career. So when I say Gabe Kapler, I say Gabe Kapler knowing him prior to this drive and this passion and this love for baseball. I was there in a Boston uniform with him when he was starting to become that reserve player, the defensive replacement, hanging out with Tito Francona, Brad Mills. I saw that on the bench. I saw his baseball acumen put to task right there. He was really trying to learn and get things done. So I saw that. And I do think that there is a commonality between he and Farhan. And I think if you have an opportunity to speak with Farhan, you do kind of get the same answers that Kapler will give you. But they're trying to win at the margins, and they're going to do what they can to do those things. The roster is somewhat limited, and they know that. But I do think when you can be lockstep with your with the president of baseball operations, then that's going to eventually, hopefully, produce a good product, which I kind of believe it will. It's just not going to be – I don't think 2020 is the year you're looking at, and I'm not even sure if 2021 is what you're looking at. But I do think when you start stockpiling athletes, which they're doing, they drafted a lot of shortstops and a lot of arms, and you continue to do that and make fringe trades in a sense that you're getting guys that – coming off bad years, some of these veterans are coming in, like a Gausman coming in on a one-year deal, Drew Smyly coming in on a one-year deal. They make those shrewd moves that maybe they keep them, maybe they flip them. And I do think Kapler and Farhan are on the same page as to how they're going to approach the season and how they're going to approach this tenure.
Former Giant Javi Lopez on the line with us, and you're a former reliever. You mentioned part of this year is looking at young talent, and I think at the plate we kind of know who that is, Dubon, maybe Jalen Davis, hopefully Joey Bart, but there's a lot of young relievers we haven't seen much before. Who has caught your eye out of the Giants bullpen so far?
Well, I do think that last game was pretty impressive. They had a lot of guys coming out. I think it was Garcia throwing a bunch of cheese up there. Anderson, I gotta tell you what, Anderson's really stepped up. We had a lot of views of him last year, but the way he's been able to pitch was really impressive so far. But Sam Krumrod's got a big arm. Rogers, Trevor Guy, you know what you're going to get with Guy. He's going to be around the zone, try to ride that fastball up in the zone. But I'd say Wandy Peralta and Rico Garcia have been two that have kind of just jumped off that screen for me watching their stuff. It's really been refreshing to see the big arms coming out of that bullpen and the way it plays. And you know, you hope everything works out with Reyes Maranta and that his rehab is coming along well. I haven't heard much about him, but you do have the makings of a bullpen that could be pretty formidable once they figure out their roles. And it's going to take some time for them to get that squared away. But it's nice to be able to bring a big arm like Coonrod coming in throwing 98-mile-an-hour bowling balls up there. It's pretty impressive to have that in a bullpen. That's kind of what Casilla was when he was in 2010, 11, 12, a big power sinker baller, and that's fun to watch.
Whitey in for Damon today. Whitey Radokolsky on 95.7 The Game. Giants opening night taking on the Padres. We're catching up with former Giant Javi Lopez. Javi, I'm guessing that you, as a guy who I believe hit 312 at the University of Virginia, you're probably not a big fan of the universal DH now. We got the DH in the National League. Am I right?
Well, I love that you went to my college stats, because as a pro, I think I hit under 100. I appreciate that. But I do have.
I'm looking out for you.
RBI. Yeah, yeah, I like it. I like it. I love that you're taking care of me. And I think the universal DH was just a necessary evil. It's going to happen. I can't say I'm a huge fan of it, but I knew it was going to come. And I think for fans' sake, they kind of want to see that as well. You know, Bumgarner, there's very few. When you can only name about three starters that you want to watch hit out of the 30 teams in the big leagues, like, yeah, you got to make a change. And so that's what they're doing. And I think the universal DH is here to stay.
The more pernicious rule change, because it affects relievers so materially, is the extra innings starting a runner on second base. Do you think there will be a higher number of pitching injuries among relievers because they will get into the habit of overthrowing right out of the chute to start the 10th inning because they're in a different world than they used to be?
I think that is a fair thought process. I do think when you come in with heavy traffic, you're coming into some serious stress right out of the chute. Sometimes you can pitch yourself into that and that happens quite often. But when you're coming in with a guy at second base and that's stress innings, stress pitches, that could take over pretty quickly. And I do think guys will have a tendency to overthrow. Again, I would feel like the younger guys are going to do that more often than the veteran guys. Again, I think there's something that has to go with a slow heartbeat and being there that a veteran player would have. But yes, you're going to have guys that are going to overthrow, overcook the slider, bury something, puts a lot of pressure on a catcher to try to keep that ball squared up. Yeah, how do you approach the hitter? Do you go ahead and just hit the guy and put him on? At least you come up with a double play. There's so many scenarios that you don't think about when you come into a ball game all that often. And in extra innings, you're just like, all right, let me get through these three outs, give our team a chance to hit. Now you're coming in with that stress. It's going to happen. And that's the one thing that has always scared me about this baseball season starting, besides the health and safety protocols. That's number one. But two was just the impact that it was going to have on the pitchers, in particular when it is a sprint like this and guys are ramping it up so quickly, the injuries that are going to happen. And you're seeing it with some frontline starters and Kluber going down, Verlander going down. I'm missing a few more, but seeing these guys go down with these arm injuries, that's scary. The repercussions of COVID and the 2020 season is going to play out for not just this year, but I mean, 3-4 years down the line.
Well, Javi, we appreciate your time very much. And at the risk of putting too fine a point on it, in all seriousness, I mentioned before we brought you on, you know, these days everybody is being forced to make adjustments. And you really set a great example for us there throughout your career. You know, you made so many adjustments. You're going to be a hitter, going to be a pitcher, dropping down. And you had such a fine career, so successful, really set a fine example for us. So thank you, Javi, for coming on. We appreciate it. Stay healthy. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me and look forward to it. Do it again.